Praise the Lord, everybody. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Lord that's in the house tonight? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's a liberty to be blessed. There's a liberty to be healed, delivered, set free. Whatever you need from God, He is here to minister to you. Can somebody just shout amen? Oh, the presence of the Lord is already here. Can't you feel Him just walking into the room? Psalm 104:3 says He can walk on the wings of the wind. John 20:19 says He can walk through shut doors. Daniel 3:25 says He can walk in the fire. Matthew 14:25 says He can walk on the water. God can walk into your life tonight. He can walk into your life right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, it's been so wonderful being here these last few days, just playing a small part of what God is doing in this church and in this community. How many believe that God has greater things in store for the future of this congregation and this city? We give honor to your fine pastor and his family. We just love the Biddles. How many love your pastor? Anybody just grateful for godly leadership in your life? Love them. Appreciate the love that we feel from them and from this entire church. Jesus said in John 13:35, He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Not by how loud you shout, not by how high you jump. He said, but by the love that you have one to another. And I feel that love of God from each and every one of you. And y'all just look so beautiful tonight. All the ugly people must have stayed home because the beautiful people are here right now. We love you all so much. Good to see your friends, Pastor Sister Romine. Thank you for being a service with us. Give them a hand clap of appreciation. If you have your Bibles, we're going to read from Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. I'm also going to read from 2 Timothy 1:5-6. 2 Timothy 1:5-6. I do want to say how honored I am that my wife is with me. My son Shiloh loved my family so very much. Matthew 3:11. This is what the Bible says. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, 2 Timothy 1:5, the words of the Apostle Paul, and he says this, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God. Verse 6, he said, I'm going to put you in remembrance, that you would stir up the gift of God. I want to preach to us just for a few moments on this subject. Stir up the fire. Stir up the fire. Oh, hallelujah. Would you lift your hands? Would you raise your voice? Can we pray all across the house, Lord? We ask that you would come and minister to every heart. God, speak to every individual and to every soul. I pray that the heavens would be open tonight. The floodgates swing wide, and the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost would begin to flow. God, we give you praise and thanks for what you're getting ready to do. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me. Well, in in our text in this third chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, we are really coming in on the middle of a story. We find a sermon is being preached by a man named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was a preacher of sorts, but he was not your everyday, ordinary, run-of-the-mill kind of preacher. John was different and distinct. He was unique. He was unusual. The scripture says that he would eat locusts and honey. And when he would stand up to minister, all he would wear was a leather girdle. I'm going to say that last line one more time. When this brother got up to preach, all he wore was a leather girdle. You've got to admit, that's a little odd. I think that's borderline weird now. And to make matters worse, John wasn't very polished, wasn't known to be very politically correct. You had to be careful asking John what he thought, because he wouldn't hold anything back. John was not known for pulling punches. As a matter of fact, he found a group of religious leaders one time and simply called them out, said, "You men are snakes. You are vipers." John wasn't going to back down for a second. And he would go off to the middle of the wilderness to preach. And even though he was unique and unusual, even though he was different and distinct, John was also powerful and persuasive. There was an authority and an anointing upon his life. But just by chance, if you look at the situation, knowing how John spoke, knowing how he dressed, knowing how he would act, you would assume that when people would see him coming, they would run in the opposite direction. But the Bible says it was on the contrary. People would come from all over. They would travel from other towns and cities because they wanted to hear the ministry of John the Baptist. It tells us something. It tells us that whenever the truth of God's word is preached, it may not always come the way you want it to come, and it may not always come from the individual you want it to come from, but there is something that happens in the hearts of humanity when the truth of God's word is preached. We find John in Luke chapter 3 and verse number 4, and he says, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." By the time John would finish preaching, it was like there was electricity in the atmosphere. By the time he would finish his message, people were moved from all over. Surely there is something different about that man. There is something about him that we just can't put our finger on. People began to talk. The scripture tells us there was a group that came together that began to discuss, how can John preach with such authority? How is it that John can go off to the middle of the wilderness, away from the hustle and the bustle of the city? He would go to a remote area where nobody lived and nobody visited. But by the time he was done preaching, the crowd had gotten out of control. Multitudes would come to hear him preach. Who really is that man? And as they began to talk, the more convinced they became. Oh, the reason why John is so anointed, the reason why people flock from all over to hear him, is because John the Baptist is actually the Messiah. There was no other explanation. There surely had to be no other reasoning. The reason why John could do what he did is that John had to be the Christ, the Savior of the world. And so this group decided they were going to go and approach him. And they went to where John was at. When they got close enough, they began to ask, "John, we think we already know who you are, but we just need you to settle any doubt in our mind. John, would you just go ahead and tell us once and for all? Make it plain and make it clear. Tell us, are you the Christ?" Do you know, church, that could have been John's moment in glory. That could have been the moment he said, "Get your iPhone out and go live with an announcement. I am the one." But that's not what he said. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11 gives us his response. John looked at them and said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." John said, "If you think I'm something, you ought to wait just a little while longer, because there's somebody coming after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm unworthy to stoop down in and loose. He's going to give you more than good religion. He's going to offer more than membership to a church. He's going to do more than just shake your hand, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So John just kept on doing what he had always done. We find him down by the river preaching like he had done so many other times before. But only this time, when all the people had gathered around, John was preaching away. And he lifted up his eyes and he looked. And there came Jesus walking down the road. And John stopped his message and he finished his sermon. He pointed in the direction of Jesus and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." That's the one we've been preaching about. That's the one that's been prophesied about. That's the one that Grandma told you about. There he is. When Jesus came, he didn't just talk the talk, but he really walked the walk. Jesus came and he did not let the people down for 1 minute. John 9 and 7 said he opened blinded eyes. Mark 7 and 35 said he unlocked deaf ears. John 5 and 9 said he made the lame man walk. Matthew 15, 31 said he made the mute man talk. Mark 5, 29, he made a blood disorder disappear. Matthew 17, 27, out the mouth of a fish, he could make money appear. Mark 1, 31, he made a fever leave. John 20, 29, he made a doubter believe. John 2, 9, he turned water into wine. Matthew 14, 25, he walked on water as the divine. Mark 11, 21, he made a fig tree die. John 11, 44, he made a dead man come alive. He was the answer. He was the solution. He was the remedy. Jesus came and he was the cure. He was the antidote for our world. He was everything that we needed and more. Jesus came and he was Adam's redeemer. He was Abel's vindicator. He was Abraham's sacrifice. He was Noah's ark. He was Jacob's star. He was Joseph's dream. He was Gideon's captain. He was Samson's strength. He was Joshua's champion. He was Deborah's authority. He was Esther's integrity. He was David's music and Solomon's wisdom. He was Micah's mercy and Malachi's messenger. He was Isaiah's prince and Jeremiah's balm. He was Ezekiel's wheel and he was Elijah's fire. Jesus came and he was everything that we needed. Isaiah 6 and 3 said he was holy. Deuteronomy 32 and 4 said he was just. Psalm 145 and 17 says he was righteous. Psalm 31:21 says he was kind. Psalm 145 and 8 says he was compassionate. Matthew 11:29 says he was meek. Deuteronomy 10:17 says he was mighty. Psalm 104 and 1 says he was great. Nehemiah 9:31 says he was gracious. Psalm 18:35 said he was gentle. Deuteronomy 33:27 says he was eternal. Isaiah 41:13 says he was helpful. Nehemiah 9:17 says he was merciful. Deuteronomy 7:9 said he was faithful. Ephesians 4:32 said he was forgiving. Psalm 94:19 said he was comforting. Exodus 34:6 said he was long-suffering. Psalm 147 and 5 said he was understanding. 1 John 3:20 says he was all-knowing. Hebrews 13 and 8 says he was unchanging. Isaiah 40:28 says he was everlasting. 1 John 4:19 says he was loving. Jesus came and he was everything. He came and you could know without a doubt miracles were about to be performed. You could count on it. He was going to heal the sick. He was going to cure diseases. He was going to do the impossible and make it possible. But even though he was performing miracle after miracle after miracle, Jesus kept referring to something that had not yet come to pass yet. In John 14 and 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. In John 16 and 13, he said, the Spirit of truth is going to guide you into all truth. He told his disciples, he said, one day I'm walking with you, but there's coming a day that I'm not just going to walk with you, but I'm going to live inside of you. Jesus came and he simply could not be stopped, regardless of the adversary. Despite what the enemy tried to do, they were unsuccessful on every turn. The Pharisees couldn't trap him. The Sadducees couldn't outsmart him. The politicians couldn't outwit him. The crowds couldn't sway him. Society couldn't confuse him. Pilate couldn't judge him. The devil couldn't destroy him. Death couldn't kill him. The grave couldn't hold him. Jesus came and he conquered Calvary. He defeated death. He overcame the grave. But even when he resurrected up and was alive forevermore, the last words he told his disciples in Acts 1 and 8, he said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and into the uttermost part of the earth. He said, go and wait for the promise of the Father. There's something coming that's going to change your life. There's something coming that's going to alter your destiny. There's something that's going to happen to you that's going to brighten your future. And so they heard this and they got together and they began to pray in an upper room. And in Acts chapter 2, it said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Cloven tongues like as of fire. That's how it started. From the very onset, from the very beginning, the church was born in the fire. It was fiery praise. It was fiery prayer. It was fiery worship. When the people outside looking in started to see and hear what was going on, they said, these people are drunk. They are intoxicated. They're a few French fries short of a Happy Meal. They have lost it all together. And Peter got up And I honestly think he thought to himself, I'm just going to talk for a moment. But do you know his talking turned into fiery preaching? He said, now these people aren't drunk as you suppose, seeing as but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. This is the fire of the Holy Ghost. This is the fire of the Spirit of the Lord. This is the fire that can do something to the inside of your soul. Oh, hallelujah. Something about when the fire begins to be stirred up. Ashley, my wife would tell me about being raised in her grandfather's church over in Ohio. They were known to get a little lively in their worship. And it just so happened it was one of those Sunday services where the Holy Ghost was moving. You know, with those Sunday services, we just had one 2 days ago. And I know this is Tuesday, but it sure feels like Sunday. And it's the Holy Ghost that starts moving. People started to respond. People started to praise and worship and magnify God. And her grandfather, Brother Boggs, was up leading the service. And people started to really come unglued. And they had a couple in their church, Brother Denny and Sister Karen. And Brother Denny was blind, and so he always come in with a cane, something that he could use to help him. Most days when he came in, his wife would be, that would be right on his side, holding his arm. Sister Karen would lead him to his seat. And so Brother Boggs would tell me, he said he was up leading the service, and people were lifting up the name of Jesus and calling on the name of the Lord. And he said, I looked over and I saw Brother Denny, and he stepped out of the seat and he started running around the church. Hey, I'm going to tell you, when the blind people start running, you better watch out. He's running around the church. Now, this wasn't a guest. This was a member that everybody knew. So you could imagine how the church began to respond. They just started going wild in their worship. And his wife, Sister Karen, realized what was going on. And she had one of those Pentecostal fits. And she just fell over and was laid out in the aisle. Brother Bog said he was watching everything. It was going so well. But he looks over and there's Sister Karen laid out in the aisle. And here's blind Brother Denny running the aisles. He said you could see what was getting ready to happen. She was laying on the floor, and Brother Denny's running full charge as fast as he can run. He said, I saw what was getting ready to happen. There was about to be an accident like no other. He said, now watch. He said, of course, when it's rolling like that, you can't stop it. Even if you wanted to try to stop it, you couldn't stop it. He said, I looked over, I said, Jesus. Brother Denny got just a step away from his wife, jumped over top of her, and kept on running. You know what that's called? That's called fiery worship. That's called fiery praise. Some things you can't do in your flesh, but when the Holy Ghost begins to flow. David said, I feel like I can run through a troop. I feel like I can leap over a wall. He said, he makes my feet like hinds' feet. Hey, when you stir up the fire of the Holy Ghost, when you stir up the fire of the Spirit of God, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Oh, hallelujah. I remember when we were getting ready to be married. Of course, I had already been evangelizing, and so Ashley was going to join me on the road. And of course, she played and sang, but she started to develop this problem. Every time she would sing, she would just completely lose her voice. And so we tried to just power through that, but eventually it got worse. And all she would do is just speak a few words, and her voice would be completely gone. So, of course, we went to the doctor, and they sent us to a specialist, and they began to ask different questions or run a few different tests, and the doctor finally came in and explained what was going on. He said, well, the issue is you got nodules all over your vocal cords. So every time you speak, and especially if you try to sing, your voice is going to be gone. And so we left that doctor's appointment just a little upset and frustrated. But we decided, let's just go on to church. Can I let you know that when life is dealing you an unfair hand, and when you are going through problems and issues, the best thing that you can do is not stay home, but is just show up to church and say, hey, I'm coming in with a lot of baggage. I'm going to let you know I'm a little discouraged. I'm a little disappointed, but I've come to where my strength is. Hey, this is the place that he lifts burdens. This is the house where he gives strength to the weak, and he lifts us when we're low. He encourages us when we're discouraged. He fills us up when we are empty. We went to church, and the preacher preached a message and gave the altar call. So almost immediately, we got out of the aisle together and made our way down to the front. We had our hands raised and our eyes closed, and we're not even really sure who it was. But there was somebody that came over and began to pray for Ashley. He didn't know anything that was going on, but he started to pray. And as he began to pray, he said, that issue you're dealing with your voice, he said, God is going to move on you, and you're going to feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. She said, it felt like heat from the top of my head all the way down to the sole of my feet. Would you believe that by the time we went back to the specialist, he said, I don't know what happened to you. We must have had some kind of misdiagnosis. Church, can I let you know that it wasn't a misdiagnosis, but we went to a red hot Pentecostal service where the fire of the Holy Ghost began to fall. Hey, that fire can heal. That fire can deliver. That fire can strengthen. That fire can encourage. I wish there was somebody that would throw your hands in the air and say, pour the fire out on me. Oh, God, stir up the Holy Ghost in me. Stir up the Spirit of the Lord in me. God, I'm ready for more of you. I'm thirsty for more of you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, we know who's the one that pours out the fire. We know where our hope is at tonight, don't we? Our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is not in our abilities, accomplishments, or accolades. Our hope is not in our insight, intelligence, or ingenuity. Our hope is not in our prosperity, proficiency, or productivity. Our hope is not in our efficiency, our education, or expertise. Our hope is not in our mastery, our means, or our money. But Colossians said, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a God that is moved by us. Psalm 115 and 4 said, the idols of this world are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. And neither do they speak. But when it comes to our God, Isaiah 40 and 11 says he gathers us in his arm and he will carry us. Psalm 119 and 73 says his hands made us and fashioned us. Proverbs 15 and 3 says his eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Isaiah 59 and 1 says his ears will hear us when we pray. Hey, Isaiah 11 and 4 says, says the breath of his lips can slay the wicked. Psalm 29:4 says his voice is powerful. His voice is full of majesty. 1 Corinthians 15:25 says he puts all enemies under his feet. Our God has eyes, he can see. He has ears, he can hear. He has hands, he can reach. He has a mouth, he can speak. And when God speaks, oh, hallelujah, when God speaks, sicknesses are healed and diseases are cured. When God speaks, mountains move and storms cease to exist. When God speaks, demons begin to tremble. Angels bow down in reverence. Men begin to rejoice. Hey, when God speaks, adversaries are annihilated. Enemies are eliminated. Evil is exterminated. When God speaks, devils are debilitated. Revival is rejuvenated. When God speaks to us, oh hallelujah, when he speaks. It says what leads us to our text here in this book of 2 Timothy. It's written by a man no stranger to Scripture, the anointed apostle and powerful preacher named Paul. And he's writing to his son in the faith named Timothy. And he starts it out in 2 Timothy 1:5. And he says, Timothy, I want to call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. But it dwelt first in your grandmother and in your mother. How many are thankful for a heritage? I'm grateful for praying mothers and praying grandmothers. I'm thankful that it may not have been a natural mother that prayed for you. It might have been a church mother. It might have been a saint of God that believed in you, that never gave up on you. I'm thankful for the church of the living God that stands with us. Paul said, hey, I know your heritage. I know where you have come from, Timothy. I know the faith that was in your grandmother. I know the faith that was in your mother. And I know the faith that is in you. Then in 6, he tells him, gives him a little admonishment. He says, I want to put you in remembrance that you would stir up the gift of God. Hey, sometimes you have to kind of read between the lines. In 2 Timothy 2:1, he says, Timothy, sometimes life isn't fair. How many know life is not fair? Life will do you wrong. Life will do you dirty. He said, Timothy, you have to be willing to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's not always going to be a bed of roses. It's not always going to be a yellow brick road. Sometimes life gets tough. Life gets turbulent. Life gets trying. But it's in those moments we've got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. It's in those moments we can't let anything separate us from the Lord. It's that same Paul that wrote in Romans 8:35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, he said, nay. Elbow your neighbor, say no. Come on, slap somebody upside the head and tell them no. Watch out now. He said, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. There's not a man. There's not a woman. There's not an employer. There's not an employee. There's nothing. There's nobody that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think what he was telling Timothy, I think Paul was telling him, when I see you again, I hope you haven't become a skeleton of the supernatural. Timothy, when I see you again, I hope you haven't become a fossil of former revival. Timothy, when I see you again, I hope you haven't become some religious relic sitting on a shelf somewhere. But Timothy, when you're down, when you're feeling the weight of the world on your shoulder, when you're feeling the pressures of life pushing you away, you've got to stir up the gift of the Lord. Come on, you got to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. Sometimes you got to raise your hands. You got to shout when you don't feel like shouting. You got to praise when you don't feel like praising. Come on, if he's a great God, he's worthy of great praise. If he's a loving Christ, he's deserving of heartfelt praise. If he's a mighty God, he's due high praise. If he's a healer, he's worthy of miraculous praise. Come on, he's deserving of every hallelujah. He's worthy of every hand clap. He's worthy of every shout. Sometimes I got to lock myself in a corner and say, God, stir up the Holy Ghost inside of me. I don't want to become dead. I don't want to be dormant. Stir up the gift inside of me. I don't want to become mundane. I don't want my ministry to be silent. I don't want my walk with God to be dry. Stir up the gift in me. Oh, hallelujah. Because when you stir it up, when you stir up the fire, it'll jump up. It will jump off on somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not going to be too much longer. I'm getting ready to close. But it was a few years back, I was in a Bible study with a young lady named Heather. We had gone a few weeks of lessons, and everything was going so well. And finally, we got on the lesson about receiving the Holy Ghost. Began to tell her that when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says it'll come with a sign. You'll speak in other tongues. And she kind of stopped me there and she said, you know, I believe in God, but I'm not sure about all the Holy Ghost stuff. I said, well, I tell you what. I said, I want you to do me a favor, Heather. She said, all right, what is it that what you want me to do? And I said, whenever you pray, whether you're at church or you're at home by yourself, if you're with a group of people or if you're all alone, I want you to pray this prayer that, God, if you want me to have the Holy Ghost, you'll let me know. Because I know what's going to happen when you start praying that prayer. It's God's will that no one would perish. It's his will that all would be saved. It's God's will for his spirit to live in all of us. So I kind of just left the Bible study open-ended like that. So it had been a little while since I had talked to Heather. And it was a Saturday night, I'll never forget. I was preached a youth service and I was on my way home. And when I was on my way home, my phone started to ring. And looked down, Heather was calling me. So I answered the phone, and we talked for a few minutes, and she said, you know what? I've done what you've asked me to do. She said, I've been praying. God, if you want me to have the Holy Ghost, you're going to let me know. And she said, you know what? I think he wants me to have the Holy Ghost. I think he wants to give me his spirit. Well, this Saturday night, I said, well, come on, Heather. Sunday is just tomorrow. It's church. We're going to show up. God's going to meet us there. He's ready to pour his spirit out. She said, no, I can't do that. I said, what do you mean? You can't do that. She said, you told me that the Holy Ghost is better than any drug and it's better than any pill. You told me the Holy Ghost is better than the biggest house and the nicest car. You told me I can never feel the Holy Ghost in a club, in a party. I'll never feel this in any kind of entertainment. She said, I can't wait till Sunday. I got to have the Holy Ghost right now. I got to have the Holy Ghost right now. I said, well, I'll tell you what, let me call a couple of people. I don't want to go to your house this late by myself, but let me call a couple of friends. We'll come over. We'll pray for you. She said, all right, I'll be waiting. So I got a few people together. We went over to Heather's house, and went downstairs. And Heather was there, and she had invited her friend Sarah. And it became obvious Heather was wide open to receiving the Holy Ghost. But as open as Heather was to receiving the Holy Ghost, the opposite was true when it came to Sarah. Sometimes you don't need the gift of discernment. Just read people's body language. They'll tell you everything that they're thinking. I knew what she was thinking. She was thinking, dude, don't try to pray for me. Don't try to put your hand on my head. I am not interested at all. So I made sure that everybody knew. We don't force anybody to do anything. God, if there's anything we know about the Lord, He is a gentleman. He does not force Himself on people that do not want Him. If you don't want Him, He's not going to make you receive Him. If you're waiting on Jesus to grab you by the head and drag you to an altar, you're going to wait a long time. He doesn't operate like that. I said, Sarah, if you don't want to pray, you can go somewhere else. You can go to another room, or you can even stay in this room. You could play on your phone, whatever you want to do. She said, well, I'll just stay over here and I'll just look on my phone while you guys are praying. I said, hey, that's great with me. And so we started praying with Heather. We're calling on the name of Jesus, and we're worshiping the Lord. We're praising God, and we're finally getting to the point I can tell Heather's just about done praying. Usually you can tell when somebody's just about done. And I stopped her before she finished. I said, Heather, before we're done praying, I just want to tell you a few things that's helped me when I pray. And I want to share them with you tonight. One thing that's helped me when I pray is I raise my hands. There's nothing really magical about raising your hands, but it's a sign of surrenderance. You're telling God, I'll give up. I am not my own. I am tired of trying to do this by myself. I give up to you. 100% I am yours. You can raise your hands. The next thing that I've learned that always helps me is I close my eyes. There's nothing really mystical about closing your eyes, but you're not worried about anybody else. You're not worried what somebody might say, what somebody might think. It's just you and God, that's it. Last thing that I've learned that helps me is I gotta lift the volume of my voice and I gotta pray out loud. Hey, whatever we do, God will honor it. If you will just meditate in your mind, God will honor that. But when you pray out loud, you take authority from the devil. You take authority from the adversary. He's got no other choice. He's got to go. And I said, Heather, if you'll do those three things, and if you'll pray with everything inside of you, God will never be second in your life. You got to put Him first. He's more important than anything else. And if you will do those three things, and if you will put Him first, only you know if you're putting Him first. God, I'm giving you everything. I said, Heather, if you'll do that, I'll do it right with you. And I believe the Holy Ghost will come on you right now. She said, all right, let's do it. So we start raising our hands. And we start closing our eyes. We start lifting our voice. And we started praying. And brother, you can tell when somebody really means their prayer. You can tell when it's religious rhetoric or when they really mean what they're saying. take long, tears were streaming down her face. Didn't it take long, her hands started to shake. And right there, boom, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She starts speaking in other tongues. We went full-blown prayer meeting mode in that moment. Man, we were so happy. We were ecstatic what God had just done. And I began to look over, and Sarah's just watching us. She's not looking at her phone. She's just watching us. Finally, she said, I got something I'd like to ask. I said, well, sir, what is it? She said, I don't know if I should ask it or not. I said, well, that's okay. There's no wrong question. There's no silly question with God. You just ask whatever you want. She said, I don't know. I'm kind of nervous about asking it. I said, that's all right. Just go ahead. She said, all right. You think God will give me the Holy Ghost? Just like Heather just got. I said, come on, Sarah. Let's raise our hands. Come on. Let's close our eyes. Hey, the fire started to be burned. The fire started to be stirred. The fire of the Holy Ghost began to move. Now, would you believe the same thing that happened to Heather was the same thing that happened to Sarah? Didn't it take long? Tears started streaming down her face. It wasn't long. Boom, God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She started speaking another tongue. Went straight Sunday service. We were jumping, we were shouting, we were dancing. About that time, Heather's grandma started coming down the stairs. And I knew she meant business. She got about halfway down the stairs. She put her hand on her hip like this. Hey, if you, young person, if you get around somebody a little seasoned in age and they put their hand on their hip like this, that's code for you about to get whooped. She looked at me. She said, I know what you are doing. And I spoke up before Heather ever could. I said, hey, Grandma, we done anything that you don't agree with, it's 100% my fault. If we were too loud, if we've done anything that you don't approve of, it's all on me, 100%. And she's just staring at me. You ever had a moment in your life where time freezes? You ever had that moment before? Time stands still. Time stood still in that moment. And she started staring me down, and I was losing. She's just staring at me. And she takes her other hand, she points it at me like this. And she says, I'm going to give you one chance, and you better not lie to me. Honestly, I didn't know what was getting ready to happen. I didn't know what was about to unfold. I said, Grandma, whatever it is you want to know, I will not lie to you. I promise you that. She's still staring at me, still pointing right through me. She said, you better not lie. I'm going to give you one chance. Do not lie to me. I said, all right. What is it? She said, you think God will give me the Holy Ghost? I've always heard about it, but I've never actually seen it. I said, come on, Grandma, let's raise our hands. Come. When you stir it up, it's for the young, it's for the old, it's for the rich, it's for the poor, it's for the boys, it's for the girls, it's for the senior citizens, it's for the teenagers, it's for the tall. The fire of the Holy Ghost is here right now. Come on, stand with me all across the house. Stand with me all across the house. Would you raise your hands with me? Would you close your eyes? Would you open your heart and open your mouth? I'm going to pray for you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. I stand in the gap and I rebuke the devourer. I take authority over every lie the enemy's trying to whisper. I come against every generational curse. standing. And is there somebody that would join me at an altar and say, God, here I am. Stir up the fire inside of me. I want to be on fire for you. Thank you.